Blog Talk Radio. right. We are finally on for real. And fortunately, we're supposed to be on with a guest right now. Neisha Tate, the female MMA star. Our last bout there was with Ronda Rousey, which really kind of elevated women's MMA to a new level. It was a pretty intense fight, and she lost by an intense armbar, but she held on for a while. But while we're waiting to connect that, gotta get her number. We had a lot of mixed martial arts action over the weekend. I don't know about boxing. I didn't really watch any boxing, but we have a ton of boxing news to cover once we get finished with the interview here. And we don't have Tom. I think Tom dropped off a while back. If he's back, we'll try to get his attention through email here before we get him back. There he is. Tom, can you hear us?
Rich?
Rich? Yeah.
All right.
And Tony, you can hear us fine? All right. Well, we have Neisha Tate on tonight. If we can figure out how to get her on here. We got major technical difficulties on my computer tonight. I apologize for the late start here, but something going on with the slowness of my computer. It's been ridiculous lately. It's been tough to get any work done. But I got rid of half of the viruses. It was so bad, I only had, like, a black screen with two little icons on it.
And wow.
It took me, like, 2 days to recapture most of my files and stuff like that. And there's some kind of virus that was going around.
The joys of technology, huh?
Right.
Yeah, I had my last computer just flushed by a virus the day after Memorial Day. Over and he's like, oh, man, this is the worst computer I've ever seen. He's living in the middle of the virus. And he was like, you know, a 6-year-old computer. He's like, but I got it working for you. He's not going to last yesterday. I'm going to tell you that. But he's like, you know, keep it as long as you can. An hour and a half later, I was on my way to bed.
Coming in really faint there, Tony. Not really.
Okay, because I can hear you guys loud and clear.
All right, that's better. Whatever you just did, improved it. All right, so while we're waiting here, we might as well do the rundown. I actually totally missed the UFC fights last night, but of course I watched UFC 148. Big fight there, Chael Sonnen versus Anderson Silva. And I think Tom and I both hit the nail on the head, and we said that Silva's just going to be able to adjust and win this one.
Well, you know what? Because I went to a sports bar last week. They have a new bar opened up about 20 minutes from my house, and we like to go there because the girls wear short skirts, knee-high socks, and, you know, it's a sports bar. And two of my friends wanted to go to watch the UFC fight, so, you know, I went with them. And the first thing I said in the first round, now obviously I don't have the UFC knowledge that you guys do. I'm more of a boxing guy. But I could see it the second the first bell rang. Sonnen, Chael Sonnen was so, I think, overhyped and so much wanting to redeem himself. I turned to my one friend and said, he will make a mistake tonight. I said, because he has himself overhyped up, and he came flying out of there, and I'm like, he's going to get reckless. And in the second round, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. Tried to box. You can't box with Anderson Silva.
Right. I mean, yeah, he tried, but he came, like, I mean, literally, like, rushing out of there. It's like, certain guys, I'm like, I didn't see the first fight. I know he was beating Silva for, like, 4.5 rounds, and then before, you know, he got caught. But with certain guys, you have to be really methodical. You can't be reckless. I remember when Roy Jones was at the top of his game back in the mid-90s, and he was fighting a kid out of New Jersey by the name of Brian Brannon, who trained in Philly, actually spent some time at my gym. Bryant was a short, stocky, physical guy, and he was a decent. He was an aggressive fighter, but he was also like almost like a Timothy Bradley, you know, aggressive but not overly aggressive. And he was fighting Roy Jones. He got himself so amped up, he comes sprinting out of the corner and just winging Bob. And Jones just waited for the opening, and within two rounds, it was over.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Well, actually, I mean, if you watched the co-main event, that was a lot better boxing, I think.
Well, yeah, because I saw your email when you sent me the link, and I was like, oh, boy, I can't wait to get with you on the show on Thursday and tell them I watched this live.
Yeah, that's awesome. But, Tom, what did you think of the...
Well, I think that it just demonstrates a principle that applies in boxing as well as MMA. Do not stray too far from your area of expertise that got you there in the first place. I mean, it would be like a slick boxer winning a few fights by knockout, and all of a sudden goes to his head and he thinks he has a better punch than he does. And then he's going to stand there and trade. I mean, of all the idiotic things, I mean, spin techniques are very, very hard to get away with. Now, I mean, if you can do it, that's great. But my experience, I've seen this even in the gym, it's hard to do, let alone a real fight. Spin, and you just got to wonder what the hell was going through his mind, you know?
And, well, there's been all kinds of speculation on what might have been the main problem. Of course, we talked about he had to lose 20 pounds in 24 hours. That obviously was a problem. He seemed very gassed at the end of the first round. And he wasn't on four times the legal testosterone limit, so he can't really recover from that with the minute rest. Then there was the problem with his trainer. His head trainer had some kind of seizure, collapsed, and was out for a while at the end of his training camp, and that left somebody
that
wasn't really experienced in that area in charge. And he came out after the fight and suggested that Chael might retire, and then Chael kind of debunked that rumor recently, but... you know, basically the whole principle of the fight, his strategy worked in the first round, and then he came out in the second round and he just tried to trade on the feet instead of just keep going for the takedown and not letting up, and I think that really ruined his chances to win the fight. But if the fight had gone on, it would have been, you know, if he had executed his strategy perfectly, it probably wouldn't have been as entertaining, and it wouldn't have finished with a knockout, that's for sure. Because he really wasn't doing all that much damage on the ground.
I don't think he ever has done a lot. When you think about it, he's just one of those guys that's just going to grind you down, wear you down, and just dominate you. But the problem is, in a five-round fight against Silva, you know, he's got that big eraser. I mean, he's going to catch you eventually, one way or the other.
Right.
So,
and one thing that really pissed me off was I thought the Forrest Griffin versus Tito Ortiz fight was a great show. I mean, obviously, Tito didn't look that great. He got his ass kicked, frankly. He got his face tenderized. But Dana White came out, of course, in classic Dana White style, and complained that both of them looked old. And I didn't see that. I mean, of course, Tito looked like it's time to retire, but, I mean, that's Forrest Griffin you're fighting. And he executed a perfect boxing game, a great jab. And Dana White is old, and he never fought, so shut the hell up, you know? It's bad mouthing your legend.
Yeah, I would agree.
And like, where does he get off?
Remember, I was in a sports bar watching it, so I can't hear as well. Plus, I'm busy looking at the big dude waitress that was waiting on us. Why did Forrest leave the ring?
Well, he does stuff like that all the time. I mean, it's just his nature. He did it after the Anderson Silva fight and never came back, but he lost. You know, when you win, you have to be there for your hand to be raised. So he just kind of ran around celebrating, and he's just a weird dude. He does that stuff. But that was another thing, because he stole the Joe Rogan moment there for Tito Ortiz retiring. You know, of course, Joe Rogan would have asked him different questions and He comes up and snatches the microphone and goes over to Tito and does his own one-man show. So I don't know what the hell is going through his head, but it's just who he is, I guess.
Well, I guess his excuse was that he didn't want to steal the thunder away from Tito's last few moments, but Dana was not amused at all. I mean,
no.
More or less, just get your ass back in there. So I was impressed with Damian Maia for as short as that went. And this is another one, kind of the theme I'm on tonight about getting back to your roots. And hopefully Damian Maia's going to abandon this whole kickboxing thing and get back to what made him the magician before he got off on that kick.
Right.
You know?
Well, we actually we have to get on the line here with Misha Tate. She's our scheduled guest for tonight. Surprise, surprise.
All right.
The female MMA star. I haven't talked to one of those in a while.
You reached me through cell. You're probably better off giving me a text message if you want to get to me a little faster, but feel free to leave a message as well. Thanks.
At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hey, Misha, this is Rabble Rousing Rich Bergeron here from the Fight News Unlimited Combat Sports Show. We talked to Matt Yanofsky there. He set up an interview with us for tonight. Just trying to get in touch with you for that. We'll try back again in a few minutes. So, you were talking about Damian Maia, Tom?
Yes. Yeah, and I think that it looked like he really didn't have any plans of keeping it standing, and I think that was a very good strategy for him. So, I mean, one fight a comeback does not make, of course, but I was very encouraged by what I seen with him because I've always been a huge fan of his. So we'll see where we go.
And that was the one where he fought the Korean guy, right?
Right. And it ended in 47.
That was weird the way that ended.
Yeah.
Apparently, Joe Rogan thought he broke a rib, but it was some kind of serious muscle spasm I read afterwards.
Yeah, you kind of hate to see it end like that, but Damian, you know, I mean, hey, he's got to take it. You know, you take
right.
the W. So.
In other MMA news, we just found out today, the top 16 coaches have been named, and it's heavyweights Roy Nelson and Shane Carwin. So I think those two guys are perfect for each other to fight. You know, they're kind of outside the realm of championship run, so they're just kind of hanging around. Roy has improved quite a bit recently. He's lost some weight. He's shown some good boxing in the ring and just put together a couple nice wins. And the only thing I kind of wonder about this pick is, you know, the UFC brass doesn't seem to really appreciate Roy all that much. And Dana White has really been critical of him in recent months. So it's just very surprising to me that they would pick him, being such an independent guy, so outspoken, and, you know, so do it my own way type of guy.
Well, maybe
put him in an influential position for the new recruits is kind of weird.
Well, maybe it gets back to ratings, though. You got to admit, Roy's a colorful guy.
Right.
And I'll be anxious to see the dynamics between the personality, because Shane seems, you know, Shane posts a lot on the Underground, and he seems like such a level-headed, low-key guy, and be interesting to see how he reacts with Roy Nelson. So this ought to be entertaining.
For sure.
Yeah.
And here's a little bit of boxing news. Surprise again here. Saul Canelo Alvarez has picked his next opponent, and it's Jose Cito Lopez, who just beat Victor Ortiz. So it's kind of surprising because he weighed in at 144 pounds, and the weight for Alvarez is 154, junior middleweight. So
that's
what's been funny was we spoke on the show last week, and I was talking about, you know, the fight from a few weeks ago, Cornelius, Canine Bundridge, and Corey Spinks. And I said, you know, if I was a titleist out there, the guy I'm going to, you know, go for and hunt down is Canine. He's very beatable. He's a very limited fighter. He just happened to catch a guy with, you know, well past his prime and diminishing reflexes in Corey Spinks. And the one guy that I mentioned, if I was his manager, and it's funny as it is because I know his manager, is Gabriel Rosado. Gabriel is on a you know, win streak. He's been very impressive, especially his last two fights on NBC Sports. Knockout over Shakur Pal and excuse me, and Jesus Soto Carras. And I know people on Gabriel's Facebook page have been saying, oh, this is a joke that Alvarez is fighting Lopez. He should be fighting you, Gab. And you know what? Yeah, that would be an excellent fight. But if I was Gabriel's managers, I would like him to fight Bundridge first. I think he'd beat Bundridge. I think he'd beat him by stoppage. And then he would get a title belt. And he could set up a pay-per-view unification and make a nice chunk of change. And Gabriel is a tough guy. You know, he's always in a good fight. And he deserves that. If he took a fight with Alvarez right now, so he got penciled in for that September 15th show. And, yeah, he is now a top-ranked contender. And he's been on two nationally televised cards, one time as the main event, the other time as you know, the co-feature. But still, he does not have that backing and that popularity that Alvarez does. He gets that belt and they set up for unification. He has just increased his chances of making a better payday significantly.
Right. And then some boxing results. We had Tony Thompson got TKO'd in the sixth round against Vladimir Klitschko.
Yeah. Well, it's been a very one-sided fight.
As usual.
Yeah, I don't think there's any surprise there. I think Tony tried to hype it, but just wasn't there.
Yeah, and he's 40 years old now. You could tell he really didn't have any reflexes going into that fight. And each round, it just got progressively worse and worse for him.
And Kelly Pavlik got a decision victory, along with Nonito Donaire on Saturday.
A lot of people were talking about the Donaire fight. I didn't see it until the next day. But people were saying it was closer. Some people thought that, you know, he even lost the fight. I thought he won. I mean, I think he made it a little bit more difficult than he needed to, especially pulling down the stretch run, only because he was doing a lot of moves, but he was letting the other guy pump. But if you go back and you look, I don't base everything off the numbers because I think that's idiotic. But the other guys threw a lot more punches. I mean, even landed a lot more punches. But when it came to significant power punches, Donaire carried the day there. Donaire did score a knockdown with a very nice left hook. I thought Donaire won the fight. I thought it was closer than what the judges gave it to him. But I did not think the African fighter won.
Right. Well, I didn't watch it, but I wrote about it, so that's why I mentioned it. But let's try Maisha. Or Misha.
I do have something I want to say. I got some bad news today, which I don't know if you saw on the Facebook page or not. But Dr. Cox passed away today.
Oh, no. That sucks.
Yeah, I know you know Dr. Cox. I don't know if you've ever met his wife. She had a lot to do with the National Collegiate Boxing Association. She was like the secretary of the treasurer for a while. I know Coach Cooper, when I was there, was the vice president. He is now the president of the NCBA. And Coach Cooper emailed us about a week ago to let us know that she was in the hospital in the ICU. Now, over the last few years, this guy had always been a heavy smoker. And the last few years at the boxing show, she was there. And she had an oxygen tank with her, but she was still, you know,
oh, no.
Yeah. And there's some times she was like, they said that like she was having trouble breathing, you know, she'd get like really cranky and stuff, but she's always still there and still very respectful to everybody. And so we got the word that it was cancer, and they're like, you know, they're bringing her home, but then they're like, you know, she's going to have a say if they're treating or how they're going to treat or what the next steps are going to be. And that's never a good thing when you're saying if we're going to treat and she's going to have a say in it, which means it's not good. The church group had told us that, you know, it didn't look good, and then it may be an announcement today. And, you know, Lock Haven Boxing, I mean, I've been a part of the Lock Haven Boxing community for 18 years now, starting in 1994. And she was always great to me. She had the unenviable task sometimes of keeping Dr. Costin on, which is never easy. We used to call her the pilot because Doc May has been the world's worst driver, and we would trust her to drive us to our shows, which she always did without complaint. You know, we'd all pile up in the van, and we had a VHS, we had a little TV in the back, and VHS, and we could watch movies because Doc wouldn't let us sleep. And then he'd read the paper and want to tell us, you know, educational stories and make sure we were studying. always the question. Yeah, so we're all going to miss her. Long Haven Boxing, the National League of Boxing Association, the Wall Street.
Well, condolences definitely go to the family there.
Yes.
If you wouldn't mind, if I could send you yourself, if you wouldn't mind, I'd send it on the...
Got to speak up, Tony.
I said, if you wouldn't mind, I sent you the information that Chris Cooper sent to me, with, you know, donations and where they can go to, if you wouldn't mind posting that on the site.
Sure.
Thank you.
No problem.
Appreciate it.
All right. Well, we have to see if we can connect with Misha again. Another favor from Matt Yudofsky here, getting us this interview.
Hello there.
Hello, Misha.
Yes.
Hi, this is Rich from Fight News Unlimited. We're also on the line with Tony the Tornado and Psychic Tom here on the Fight News Unlimited Combat Sports Show.
Good evening,
Hello.
Misha.
Hello.
So what's going on these days? I know you had a rough last fight, but do you have anything on the horizon right now?
Yeah, I'm actually fighting August 18th, which also happens to be my birthday, ironically enough. Yeah, in San Diego, it'll be on show for Strikeforce on Showtime, so you guys will be able to watch it on TV if you can't make it all the way down to California. But
cool.
Yeah, either way, I'm fighting Julie Kedzie, kind of a veteran of the sport, and it's going to be a good one.
Yeah, I can still remember, that's when I really first started watching mixed martial arts, is when it's on Strikeforce first. On Showtime there as Elite XC, and they basically, you know, they really stole the show when Julie Kedzie and Gina Carano fought.
That was
really a statement for women's MMA.
Absolutely, and Julie Kedzie, I mean, if you watch that fight, you can tell like she is definitely not a quitter. She's got a great mentality for the sport, and she's really, really tough. She obviously had a huge size disadvantage. You know, Gina Carano fights up a lot heavier than Julie does, and so we're going to be fighting in the same weight class at both our proper weights, and I'm stoked because I know that she's not going to be an easy fight, but I think it's going to be a great fight, and I think it's going to say a lot. You know, I asked that I fight someone be ranked in the top 10, and she is, and so, you know, it's another win over her would definitely put me on the fast track back towards the title.
Misha, I believe she trains out of Greg Jackson's, doesn't she?
She does.
Yeah, so she's coming from a first-class camp, so she's no cheap date. So you train hard. I'm sure you are.
Oh, for sure. Always.
Now, obviously, your last fight was very hyped up. It was you know, a big event, and it was kind of the first time women's MMA had been back on the map as much as it was during the Gina Carano days. What was that like, being involved in that kind of atmosphere there?
Well, there was a lot going on. It was definitely a really busy period, but I also think, you know, it was a mile marker for women's MMA, and I think that we did it. I think it was good, and I think people liked it, and we got a lot of viewers. And, you know, I heard the headline between Ronda and I, you know, had more viewers than their last, you know, they compared it to their last three shows, and we had done better than them, you know, than the guys. So I think when it comes to entertainment, the women are definitely delivering.
Yeah, it's actually kind of one of the hallmarks of our site, Fight News Unlimited, is we have always tried to recognize women in combat sports. And, you know, we've interviewed a lot of women boxers and women MMA fighters, and it's just one of those things that we respect, mostly because of my background. I wrestled in high school, and there was a girl on our team who won the first varsity match ever in Massachusetts wrestling history in high school, and then she went on to wrestle for Harvard as the first female wrestler for Harvard. So it's always been kind of a soft spot. And, you know, being even locally, watching MMA in Massachusetts before it was regulated, I thought the women fights that they had were way more entertaining than the men. And the way I like to say it is, it seems like when the women go into the cage, it's like they're fighting not only for themselves and for the fans, but for all of womankind.
It's true. It's almost like we're, you know, fighting for our rights or whatever, you know, fighting for acceptance. I think that kind of shows in the fight, because a lot of times we come with a chip on our shoulders and kind of a vengeance, you know, not just to beat our opponent, but to prove anyone who may doubt what we're capable of wrong.
Right. And how did you first get into fighting?
Well, funny enough, I started wrestling when I was 15 on the guys' team, and I was the only female all 4 years that was, you know, consistently there. Maybe we had other females come in and out, and even maybe stay for 1 year or 2-3 years at a time, but not all 4 years. Like, the whole 4 years that I was there, I was definitely the only female that was, like, there every day working hard. And I went on to win the women's state championship my senior year. And then as I went on to Central Washington University, they didn't have a wrestling program there. So I stumbled across mixed martial arts, and I really, you know, this is 6.5 years ago or so, I didn't know what it was. Never seen a UFC, never watched it, had no clue what I was getting myself into, but it sounded kind of interesting. So I went, and, you know, it's like the stars aligned for me, and I think that I found, you know, I knew that I had found something that was going to be big, and I loved it, and I still love it.
Cool. And who's the toughest woman you've fought so far, would you say?
Toughest as in, you know, her being tough, or toughest as in my biggest challenge?
Well, if you have two different people in mind for each answer, give us both, I guess.
Oh, man, you know, it's just like so many, when I think tough, you know, I don't always think, like, maybe the best, you know, because some people may have a better skill set, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they're, you know, actually tough. Like, what can someone go through? How tough are you? Like, how do you know that unless, you know, you've really been there and been drugged through the mud and back and you're still there? You know, to me, that is tough. I think probably one of the toughest girls that I've ever fought was Marlies Kunin. And I beat her for the world title back in July of this last year. That's when I became the champion. And, you know, she's been fighting for a really long time, and she's just, man, she's pretty much as tough as they come. She's really a go-getter, and I love her fighting style. She's really, really talented.
And that was a kind of a comeback win for you, too, if I remember correctly, wasn't it?
Well, I had been coming off of an injury, and I was actually injured a couple weeks before that fight with a completely torn MCL, but I still managed to take the fight, and I still won the fight, and, you know, it was a very proud moment for me. But, as far as wins, that was my sixth win in a row. So I just broke my win streak, unfortunately, but, you know, everyone loses at some point, and I've had my ankle broken in wrestling. I've had my nose broken in fighting. I've been knocked out, and I've had my arm severely hyperextended, but I'm still here, and I'm not going anywhere, and, you know, I think I have one of my strengths is my mindset. You know, I really have a positive mindset, and I just am, like, going to go after it no matter, you know, who tells me no or who tries to, you know, tricked me along the way. You know, it's not how many times you fall down, it's how many times you get up. And so I'm definitely back on track, and I want my belt back, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes. You know, and Julie Kibbe is my next step towards that, and I'm not overlooking her by any means. But when I beat her, you know, that's just one more step closer to that belt again.
Right. And speaking of your arm situation there, I think anybody who watched that was really impressed with, in your last fight, how you still held on, even in that arm bar position where it looked like you were going to break your arm. And is that the one that you hyperextended your arm in, that last fight?
Yes.
So how was the recovery from that?
Yep. I have to give myself credit where credit's due, I suppose, in that I was really, really diligent in taking care of that injury because I realized the severity of it, and I knew that was pretty serious, and that it could have potentially been a career-ending injury for me if I did not rehabilitate it properly. And that was a lot of work. That was almost more work than being in a full-on training camp, just getting my arm back to health. I mean, I tore all kinds of ligaments, all kinds of muscle tissue, and I dislocated my elbow, which is one of the hardest joints to dislocate. And, you know, I didn't want to tap. I didn't want to give up in the fight. And, you know, I was just stubborn in that sense. And there's so much going through your mind in that split second. And, you know, when you're a fighter at heart, you never want to give up. You never want to admit defeat, you know. And so that was a very, it was a tough moment for me and a humbling moment as well. And I had to do a lot to get back to where I'm at and to be able to fight again, especially so soon. I think a lot of people are really surprised, but I have been fully cleared by my doctor. And, I literally iced my arm 10 times a day if need be. I was sticking it in a bucket of ice water. I was taking my anti-inflammatories. I was constantly doing rehab around the clock all day long. I was massaging. I was stretching. I was moving my wrist, you know, making sure that I was getting that motion. And I have full range of motion back in the arm. And the strength, my arm is just as strong as my right arm. So I'm, you know, pretty stoked about that. And I've been able to train and haven't had any limitations, in this training camp so far. So fingers crossed, everything's going good. And I'm really looking forward to making a comeback.
Awesome. Well, that's a good lesson for people out there with that type of injury. You know, you got to take care of it.
And Misha, I could imagine it would be so hard to stay inactive because you probably wanted to do a little bit more, but that's a lot of self-discipline. Really, I congratulate you on that. That's amazing that you're back this quick.
Thank you. I knew I had to. You know, I had to be mature in the sense that, you know, a lot of fighters would say they want to come back, and I wanted to too. You know, it's hard for me to not come in the gym and see people train them, and I wanted to, but I knew that my quickest route to recovery was not to push it too fast, you know. So
right,
I just did
right.
Exactly what the doctor said. I did exactly what my therapist said. I did all my physical therapy appointments. I iced the crap out of it. And I was like, you know, this is what's going to get me back in the training room sooner, not jumping into the training room when I'm not fully healed. So I really was very diligent in that, the most diligent I've ever been out of any injury I've had in my career. And that's what enabled me to get back so quick. So I'm just really excited that it paid off. My doctors are so surprised. You know, they're just like, wow, I just can't even believe this. My doctor almost thought I was going to need surgery. He was kind of like, trying to convince me I needed surgery. I'm like, no, I don't. I really don't. I promise.
Well, I also think your pain tolerance is incredible, because a lot of times people who haven't trained don't understand just how painful submission holds can be.
Yeah.
And it was just amazing, the mindset and the determination you had. I mean, I could feel it myself. It's like, oh my God, oh, oh. But sure glad it came out good for you.
Well, thank you, guys. I mean, I guess I'm a little bit crazy, if you want to put it that way, you know. I'm a little crazy, a little nutty.
Well, yeah. Well, no matter what your explanation is, I think when people saw that, I mean, it put you in a new level of respect for a lot of people, men and women, I think, out there watching that fight. Because, I mean, I've never experienced an armbar myself, but I can remember one time after a fight with a friend's friend's friend that was in the fight, and I bet on him to win, and he lost. It was only a $5 bet, but he lost the fight, and I saw him at the after party, and I said, I still don't understand what's so painful about an arm bar. This is when I first started on MMA. So he takes my index finger, and he bends it backwards, and he goes, does that hurt? That's what an arm bar feels like. Okay, you're off the hook.
Yeah, it's not very pleasant.
Oh, Amisha, I also have to tell you, you're an inspiration to me as I'm going through the Tap Out XT routine. You know, that's you keep me going when I want to get tired. So hopefully that's going to help you stay in shape.
Oh, yeah, I love that stuff. That's awesome. Glad you're taking up on it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the first minute I seen the infomercials, yep, this is, I got to get it, got to get it, got to get it.
Awesome stuff, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Amisha, what would you say is the thing that you love the most about mixed martial arts?
I get such a sense of fulfillment from it. You know, it's very rewarding. It can be, I mean, it can be really hard, and at times you can feel really down about yourself or really beat up, you know, because it's not only physical that you're being beat up on, but mentally, you know, if you have a bad practice, you have to be able to keep yourself in a positive state of mind to want to keep doing that, because it's not easy. And especially I think being a female in the room, you know what I mean? Like, I'm competing every day against primarily men. So obviously they have usually a strength and a, you know, size and a speed advantage. So it's, I have to keep in my mindset, you know, even when I'm getting my ass handed to me, that, you know what I mean, that I'm still doing good, and when I fight my next opponent, they're not going to feel like this, you know, it's going to make me that much better, and then you get out there, and you fight, and you win, and it's like all the work that you put into it, all the mental training, as well as the physical training paid off. It's just like, I don't know, it's like the best day of my life every time. It's so weird. It's, you know, it's just a very exhilarating feeling. I love the rush of coming out to the crowd, you know, where the lights are flashing, the smoke's coming up in your face, and the cameras are in your face, and the audience is just cheering for you, and they're yelling, and they're excited, and they want to see you get in there and put on a show. They want to see you entertained. And then to be able to go out there and deliver that and have all of that hard work pay off and be successful is just like this feeling of just awe, you know. It's like, I guess it'd be like being on top of a mountain and seeing the entire world in front of you or something, you know. It's so hard to like emulate or imagine unless you do it, you know. It's just a very addicting feeling.
Cool. And what's your ultimate goal in the sport?
Well, you know, obviously being a world champion, I've accomplished that. You know, I'd like to get back in there. I'm only 25 years old, and I think that I have what it takes. I mean, I know I have what it takes to be a champion. I know that I can beat Ronda, and believe it or not, I'm even less afraid of her armbar now. You know what I mean? I know that I was caught in it, and I respect her for her skill set, but I've been in there. I know what she feels like, and I believe that she underestimated me, you know, the first time we fought, because she even said afterwards, oh, you're a lot more savvy on the ground than I thought, yada, yada, yada. Hit her a few good times. They think that if I make just some small adjustments, you know, I will win that fight. I know that I can, you know, and as simple as just not getting caught in that armbar and really, really working on that. You know, I have been training this fight camp, obviously, to fight Julie, but I've also been training since that night. I've been training in my mind to fight Ronda again. And I will continue to train to fight Ronda again until I do fight her again. Through all my training camps, she's going to be in the back of my mind, and you know, I want my chance to defend a loss. You know what I mean? I really do, because that sucks for me, and I know that I'm better than that. And that's a big goal of mine, to get back in there, beat Ronda, to get my belt back. And other than that, I really want to be a role model for women in all walks and forms, whatever, you know, whatever they may be doing or not doing. I want them to look at me and be able to say, you know what, that girl has what it takes, you know, and I have what it takes too. You know, that I can do whatever I want to do. I'm not going to limit myself. Yeah, I don't want, I think that the beautiful thing about America is the equality and rights. You know, I've got to travel to few of the countries, and really I feel like nothing compares to here, especially for the opportunities that we get as females. I think we definitely need to take advantage of it more so, and dig deep inside and figure out what is it that you like. What do you like to do? What are your talents? What are your gifts that God gave you? And not be afraid to pursue them, because somebody tells you, oh, you know, you can't do that, or you shouldn't do that, or women shouldn't do that, or because you're a woman. You know, those are all just excuses, and they're absolutely way, way far from the truth. So I want other girls to be inspired when they look at me and empowered, and that's a big goal of mine. So I'm always working towards that as well.
Good answer. That's one of the best answers we've heard for that question. But
I'm really long-winded.
We like that here on our show. We actually, with the women's MMA setup, you know, it's one advantage that you do have, I think, is that the field is a little bit smaller, so that you won't get lost in the mix when you're looking for a rematch like you want there. I think
exactly.
Probably within the year, you might get your wish.
And you know,
I'm gonna try to turnaround off this fight too. I want to win this fight, and then I'm gonna be begging for my next fight as soon as possible, because I want to get two solid wins. I want to know that I earned my rematch. You know, that I didn't just ask for it. You know, I want to know that I earned it.
Yeah.
You win two more solid fights against top level females, and then get back in there and show Rhonda that her armbar doesn't need shit to me.
and you know, Misha, I think that if you remember the cliche that sometimes the person who lost the first fight really may have the advantage, because they can make the adjustments going in.
Exactly.
So I think if you just keep that mindset and say that maybe the burden is on her, because she's got to be thinking, okay, I won that. Do I have to do something different? What's Misha going to do different? So it's, I think that would be the right mindset for you.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't know if it's true, but you know, in Rhonda's case anyway, but a lot of times when someone wins like that, and they get all the hype and the attention, like she just appeared on the ESPN body issue, you know, they get lazy. And she was even saying in the interview that I saw on that photo shoot there, she was saying that she ate a ton of ice cream after that fight and sat on the couch. So, you know, maybe that is going to come back to haunt her, where she's just getting a little bit lazy because she's in the spotlight so much, and she just gets the attention no matter what. But I don't know. I think she got back on her horse and started working out just for the body issue pictures.
Exactly.
Well, maybe she's getting ready for Kim Kardashian. I understand she just called her out. So.
Yeah.
Well, Rhonda's dumb, and she's a hypocrite at best. She wanted to talk crap about my pictures, and then she talked crap about the ring girl posing in Playboy, but yet, I guess, posing, quote-unquote, artistically nude, that's about the most hypocritical thing I've ever heard in my life. No one else can do it, but she can do it because it's artistic. Whatever. Sorry, my joke is artistic.
Yeah, I thought it was a lot of hype around that. I mean, I've been reading for the last few days, everybody's talking about it, but you know, I don't think it's that much worry, but they make it one every time somebody appears in that issue. But getting back to you, do you know anything about your next opponent? And I mean, obviously, you've watched your fight. Do you have any kind of strategy or anything like that going into the fight?
Not particularly. I'm just going to fight. I want to put on a good, well-rounded display of everything. I don't want to limit myself to say, well, I'm going to strike this fight, or I'm going to go to the ground this fight, or I'm going to work for this. Like, I just want to let everything flow. I think that my skill set will speak for itself, and I just want to just go and fight.
All right. And is there anybody you want to give a shout-out to or thank or say hello to out there?
Yeah, I'd like to thank Toyo Tires for being a great sponsor for me. I'd also like to thank my boyfriend, Brian Caraway. You know, he's coached me since the beginning of my career and been there through it all before I was really anyone. And, you know, he's got a fight also coming up July 21st in Calgary, Canada. It's going to be for the UFC live on FX, so make sure you guys tune in for that as well. I think he's going to do awesome. He's dropping a weight class to 135, and I think he's going to be a monster at that weight. So I'm really excited to see what he does. You know, thank you guys for having me on the radio show. Thank you to all my fans. I really appreciate the support, and, you know, I hope you all are looking forward to my comeback fight because I'm going to make it spectacular.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, we definitely appreciate having you on and getting that perspective, and we wish you best of luck, even though I think it's a lot more skill with you and hard work, obviously, with your recovery. So more power to you, and keep up the good work.
Yeah, thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, Misha. Good luck, and train hard.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Good night.
Bye.
Okay, so we got just a few minutes left here on the show. Are we saying something, Tony?
Limerick Gospel in Limerick, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Radio station Q102 is having a summer outdoor release party. And get your candy ever. Yes, and give us a call.
All right. Well, of course, we also have to thank our sponsors, DrinkCocaine.com and Milifidel, MilifiDel.com. And thank again Misha for coming on the show and talking to us, and Matt Yanofsky for hooking that up. And don't forget to check out the Ring Girl contest. It's finally fully live. I haven't put the video on the website yet, but I will tonight. And we have 25 contestants to pick from, and we definitely will have a tight contest, I think, between the two